Truth is stranger than it used to be. In July of this year, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the first ever moon landing, but some people maintain that it never actually happened and that the whole thing was an elaborate hoax. I wonder what you think. According to a survey done in 2018, 2% of Americans believe that the Earth may be flat. And those who believe that the Earth is flat are more likely to believe in God. Many people still believe that there is a link between autism and the MMR vaccine, even though the study that first proposed that theory has been totally discredited. And the most influential piece of propaganda in the EU referendum was a big red bus that said £350 million a week. We send the EU £350 million a week. Let's fund our NHS instead. A fact that wasn't actually a fact. Truth is stranger than it used to be. The theme of this morning's sermon is fake news and the demise of the expert. As ever, we've got between 10 and 15 minutes to explore a huge area. So my aim is to focus on why we seem to have a crisis with the truth, how our faith in Jesus speaks into some of those issues, and how we might respond. And I would say it's not the last word on this topic, it's more like a starter for 10. So I want to begin by looking at our reading from John chapter 8. If you've got a Bible there, you might want to have a look at it. The thing I want to point out is some of the headings in John chapter 8. So if you flick over to the previous page, that's page 1073, you'll notice that the headings in chapter 8 say this: unbelief of the Jewish leaders, dispute over Jesus' testimony, dispute over who Jesus is. So this whole section is a dispute about who Jesus is, and what actually lies behind that is a dispute about the nature of God, the nature of God's purpose, and perhaps most importantly of all, who has the authority to say what God wants. And this is a heated argument that's going on in chapter 8. We're told in chapter 7 that the Jewish leaders were looking for a way to kill Jesus. And then at the end of chapter 8 in verse 59, we're told that the crowds pull out stones to stone Jesus. So the stakes are high. People are angry and agitated about what is true. And the stakes are high because the things that Jesus is saying threaten the chief priests and the Pharisees. Jesus is a threat to their position and power as the ruling religious elite. And he's a threat to the influence that they have over their society. Jesus is claiming that he is the truth, and the chief priests are denying that claim. But if Jesus is the truth, if what he's saying is right, then the chief priests are not just denying a claim, they're denying the truth, which would suggest that they are lying in order to maintain their power and position. So that's sort of what's going on here, that there is this struggle for power, and the religious ruling authorities are trying to hang on to theirs desperately. I think that sounds rather familiar, doesn't it? That idea of lying or distorting the truth in some way in order to maintain your power. After the inauguration of President Trump, the White House press secretary famously announced that it was, quote, the largest audience ever to witness an inauguration, period. Trump himself then addressed the CIA. He claimed that 1.5 million people had been in the crowd, but the evidence from those with some skill at assessing the size of crowds said it was between 300,000 and 600,000. What's going on there? Well, there are lots of things going on, but I think it's fair to say that the truth was denied in case it undermined the president's power, the president's position, and perhaps most importantly of all, his prestige. But it isn't just politicians. There are plenty of examples of individuals and institutions denying or subverting or distorting the truth to maintain their power, their position, and their prestige. You're probably aware that following the Hillsborough disaster, the South Yorkshire Police blamed the tragedy on the Liverpool football supporters. They claimed that they had turned up late, turned up drunk, and turned up ticketless. 26 years later, an inquest jury found that the 96 were unlawfully killed, and they concluded that the behaviour of Liverpool football fans did not contribute to the tragedy. So the powers that be in the police force had distorted the truth to protect their own power, their position, and their reputation, or the reputation of the institution. The same, sadly, is true in the Church of England, where some might argue there has been a cover-up of child sexual abuse by some clergy. And so some figures in authority within the life of the Church did not report things to the police that should have been reported because, I presume, they wanted to maintain the power, the position, and the privilege of the institution, and in some cases their own individual power, position, and privilege. So one of the reasons that we have a crisis with the truth is because people are willing to deny the truth, distort the truth, and subvert the truth to maintain their own power. We're living in a world where power seems to matter more than truth. So it is no wonder that we are suspicious of people in power. It is no wonder that we are suspicious of large institutions like the church as well, because abuses of power have come to light. So we are not sure anymore whether we can trust politicians, religious leaders, the police force. It isn't just about power and position. Today we might also add the word profit as well. A few years ago, the CEO of one of the big global pharmaceutical companies caused outrage when he said this, that his company's primary responsibility is to its shareholders, not the customers who rely on our drugs to live. Now, I understand what he's saying, because actually it's a business, and that's what businesses do. They make profit. And yet, at the same time, how could you trust a pharmaceutical company to put a fair price on their drugs when you know that they are driven by profit? No wonder we have a burgeoning anti-vaccine movement when people say things like that. Because if somebody stands to profit from you buying their drug, can you really trust them when they say you absolutely must have it or your child absolutely must have it? People are suspicious of so-called experts because we suspect that their motives may be mixed. And as I say, maybe that suspicion is fair in some cases because some people have misused their position to profit from those who are ill. So you could argue that the problem isn't necessarily with the truth as such, that the problem is with the integrity or lack of it of those who claim to have the truth. So the way in which people have denied, distorted, or subverted the truth has caused some people to suffer. The way in which people have denied the truth has led to the exploitation of some people and has led to injustice. Because of that, our confidence in the truth has been undermined to the point actually now where people feel that they can play fast and loose with the truth. Because we all sort of think, well, is it really true anyway? Such that actually politicians can stand up and think, well, nobody believes anything that politicians say anyway, so I can actually say what I like. Carte blanche. So what's a Christian response in this world where truth is stranger than it used to be and where we don't know what or who to trust? Well, at this point, I'd like to look at our reading from Philippians 2. And let me just echo from that what it says about Jesus. It says, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I think that is a brilliant phrase. So Jesus is equal with God, but he did not consider that he could use that power for his own advantage. We're told Jesus made himself nothing, that he took on the nature of a servant, and that he died in order to serve others. In our translation of the Bible, it says Jesus made himself nothing, but in other translations of the Bible, it actually says that Jesus emptied himself. Now, I think that is a brilliant phrase, because when Jesus died on the cross, he emptied himself of his power. And he did that in order to set people free from the things that oppress them and hold them. That's why in John 8:32, Jesus says, know the truth, and he means himself, know me, and the truth shall set you free. So there's a direct correlation between truth and between freedom from the things that bind us in some way. Now, many people are suspicious of Christianity because it's an organised religion that makes exclusive claims to the truth. And those exclusive claims to the truth have sometimes been used to exclude certain groups from the church or exclude them and marginalise them some way in society. And that is the experience of some individuals, that the church has excluded them. And yet here is Jesus giving up his power in order to set people free from that oppression, in order to draw to himself those people who have been marginalised. The oppression that he is freeing them from is oppression from sin. But don't forget that sin is not just about sort of some individual moral failing. Actually, you can get sin in many forms, and sin can be institutional or structural sin as well, like we saw in the case of Hillsborough, or like we're seeing in the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse. So when Jesus comes to free us from sin, it isn't just from the things that I have done wrong that have bad consequences. It's from the structures in society that are broken and wrong and unjust and hold people and oppress them in some way. So people are suspicious of those in power because power has been misused and because the truth has been covered up in order to maintain power. But power does not have to corrupt. Look at what Jesus does with his power. The Gospels are full of stories where Jesus uses his power to respond to people who are suffering, and especially to respond to people who are suffering because they have been marginalised and othered by the prevailing religious culture. So we have tons of stories about Jesus having encounters with women, children, people who are physically and mentally unwell, people who are poor, people who come from other countries and cultures. And Jesus does not suppress people in order to maintain or optimize his power. He does the opposite. He empties himself of his power in order to bring them restoration and wholeness and freedom. So in John's Gospel, Jesus describes himself in chapter 14 as the truth, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, which means that truth does not suppress people. Truth liberates people and brings them restoration and wholeness. So for us, as a community of followers of Jesus, we stand against those who would seek to deny, to subvert or distort the truth. We recognise that when power is misused, it can be abusive and it can be oppressive. An example of that actually would be the rise in discrimination and the incidence of racism following the EU referendum. You have the misuse of power, and all of a sudden that's resulting in increased experience of discrimination for people who are black or other minority groups. So we align ourselves with Jesus and we work to set people free from those oppressive structures. And that means that we hold those in power to account. We hold one another to account as fellow human beings, and we also hold ourselves to account, recognising that we are all sometimes tempted to be liberal with the truth in order to maintain our own position or our own power. Sometimes, of course, we don't necessarily know where the truth lies. We don't necessarily know who to believe. And perhaps at those times we need to look at the source of the truth claim, whether it's an individual or whether it's an organisation. Maybe we have to ask some quite pertinent questions. For example, what power, position and privilege does that person or organisation have? How are they trying to use their power, position, privilege and profit? What do they stand to gain if this is the truth? What do they stand to lose if this is a lie? Is their behaviour oppressing others and how? And are they in any way seeking to free people from oppression? And if so, how? I think as far as I am concerned, the greatest measure of the truth is the truth, is the person of Jesus. And he is my yardstick. So when I'm listening to what's happening in our world, when I'm looking at the impact of the things that people are saying that claim to be true, I'm using Jesus as my yardstick. Are the outcomes that result from this, are they the same as the outcomes that would result from when Christ relates to someone? The truth is stranger than it used to be. We do live in interesting times. But I think the church has got an amazing opportunity to demonstrate a different relationship between truth and power, where power is offered up in the service of others to liberate them from the things that would seek to oppress them. So let's hope that this time the church doesn't get it wrong. Amen.